Welcome, everybody. You're watching the Speedsoft Lounge podcast. And in today's podcast, we are joined by the one and only Luke Curtin. First of all, Luke, how you doing, man?
I'm not bad. How are you?
I'm really good. I really good. Appreciate you coming on. I know you've got a lot on your plate leading up to the tournament. So for the people that don't know, I mean, there's not going to be many, but the people that don't know who you are, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Luke. I run the Bunker CQB. Well, it's now the Bunker anyways. Also run District 23. We do comps across the UK. We get teams from everywhere. Leading into the last comp of the year, which everyone's getting a little bit excited for. Each comp's got bigger.
I'm really excited for that next comp. Not much longer to wait. Just less than 2 weeks now, so it's going to be absolutely insane.
It'll be a good laugh, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good way of finishing the year.
It is. God, I remember the last... It was really upsetting. I remember the last time we were on the field bunker. And I remember the last comp for that. I was like, oh, God, when's the next one? I want the next one already.
The last one of the year, last year.
Swamp, wasn't it?
The best way of describing it, really, wasn't it?
God, that was meds. I mean, my mags are still recovering. I still find mud in my mags to this day.
That's the difference, though, between indoors and outdoors.
Absolutely.
You don't have to think, oh, shit, it's raining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Just close the windows. If it's raining, it's all good.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, let's start off. Where did you first get involved into Airsoft? Or was it paintball first? Or was it Airsoft first? Which one was it?
Airsoft. Fair. To be fair, I got started with Airsoft in a really, really strange way. So, yeah. I actually went to Ukraine on holiday with a couple of mates.
Okay.
We went to a gun shop. And didn't know over there you actually have to be Ukrainian to actually fire guns. So they said, oh, go downstairs, there's some guns down there you can shoot.
Oh, what?
And found out they were actually Airsoft guns, but we didn't actually know what Airsoft was. As soon as we shot them, we got kind of hooked to it. Decided, like, when we get back, we're going to have a look.
That's
from District. And the rest is history. And then played Airsoft for about 3 years or so. Then got into the world of competitive.
Nice. That's mad. I remember, obviously, so we'll start with, how did you go about getting, obviously, the bunker field? Because that's, like, where you kind of first started. Is that correct? Or
yeah, well, the first of our own was bunker. Do you know, it was a strange story behind that, actually. So we were looking, we got into paintball before we opened bunker, started getting, you know, like, competitive, enjoying all that kind of stuff. And then Costa, obviously, as you know him, me and him started going, do you know what? Well, we find a field up here, because up in the north, we don't have paintball fields. We don't have anything up here. So we're like, oh, do you know what? We'll find a field, just a random field somewhere, rent it out, buy an NXL field, and then our team can train. And then we're like, right. It went from that to then going, why don't we look at old sites that have closed down, see what we can find. We then found the bunker site. What was it called? Massive Attack. It used to be Massive Attack Paintball.
We
thought, you know, we'll just rock up to it, you know, see if we can find out who owns it, what farmer owns it, or whatever. We rocked up to the gates, and literally, as we rock up, the farmer's on the other side of the field, which we didn't know. So I went over to him and I said, oh, do you know who owns this field? He was like, yeah, it's me. And obviously, the rest of it, I was like, oh, do you fancy renting it out? That started Bunker.
That's mad.
And then obviously, we got District after that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to experience the first ever tournament that you hosted here, but I was pretty early on. Like, it was a couple of comps in when I first did the first one, and I was just like hooked straight away.
Were lethal compared to what there is now.
Is it? What kind of? I can't remember what teams was there for the first comp. Can you remember some of them? Because I mean, some of them aren't still around now. But
Reed Reapers or B.
Lucid?
I want to say TW possibly back then.
Oh, TWW.
I know they did one of our comps.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the first one or not. And then obviously we had Lucid up.
Yeah, Lucid as well.
A few of our comps, and obviously the first year doing it all.
Yeah.
I can't think of who else. I remember Lucid putting in two teams and stuff. The first comp though, that was lethal.
How much would you say it's changed from obviously looking back then to like now?
Oh,
massive. Right, massive.
Yeah. You look at our first comp, we would have had, obviously, all the teams are the same, apart from teams getting better.
Yeah.
You know, the teams stay the same, the players are still the same, we get new teams and stuff like that, but going from everyone on the field is just refs, with just straight 5v5, well, I think we started as 3v3, actually, to then what we do now, where we've got media teams, we've got full comp box with, you know, overfield viewing. We've got spectator areas, got full live streams, astroturfed indoor field. Like, that to what we had.
It's just
complete chalk and cheese.
I say it's like what obviously like Zach said on the last podcast. Like every tournament, it's always going up and up and up and up. There's always something new that's coming. Or it's crazy how much it's grown over the past like over the past 2 years. It's just it's shot up completely.
It's good though, because as much as we keep improving what we do, players are improving what they do as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. And then
players keep coming back to us going, oh, we want to see this, we want to see that. And if people, if there's anyone watching this that has played our first comps, everyone will remember, like, people were saying, you need to do this, we need to do this. And no matter what anyone's ever told us to do, eventually, might not be straight away, but eventually we put it in place we found something that would work as a kind of substitute or whatever. But like, always works. We always do what the players want.
I think one thing I thought was absolutely crazy, and I've probably told you this before, but I remember when he was in the outdoor field, and I was like, it was one of the days where, like, it rains quite a lot where you guys are, doesn't it? Like, it's pretty, the weather's pretty rough.
Welcome to the north, mate.
And I was like, oh God, I just wish there was an indoor site. And you was like, oh, you know, we're going to try and do something like that in the future. And I think it was not even like 3 months. You was like, oh yeah, we've got an indoor site. It's coming now. I was like, what? The turnaround. It was a couple of months.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, like, oh, it's, we've had messages saying it's cringy what we say about, like, built for the players, for the players, but it is
true. It's true, yeah, no, 100%.
It is that, like, whatever people's, I remember, it's a very simple thing, but if you remember the old bunker, remember the bridges to get from the pits over onto the main road, then from the main road over into there?
Yeah.
I was just suggesting, people went, no, you don't need to do it, but, like, it'd be good. And I think it was within a week we put in a WhatsApp chat. By the way, there you go. You wanted this. This is what we've done.
Yeah. No.
I think it's the best way to be. Like, there's a lot of places, a lot of people that don't think, you know, in that way. And it's the best way.
Yeah. No. And just obviously out there, what made you go from the, obviously, the outdoors to obviously the indoors, obviously, despite the weather as well? Because the weather, I can imagine, being a big play. But
the easiest way of explaining it, outdoor site, you've got 3 days of prep. The one day before, you're there stupidly early, putting the field out, blowing the field up, all that kind of stuff, doing the air bank, all that. Then on a comp day, we're there from 5 a.m, putting the field up, making sure everything's on. You know, one small problem, the day's done.
Yeah.
Whereas indoor field, I walk in, turn the lights on, we're good to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what was the transition like? Like, obviously, going from outdoor to indoor, was it straightforward?
Expensive.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Obviously, with turf as well. Now, bloody hell.
It was. Do you know what? I prefer it. Everything's been a challenge. Obviously, with district, we've took down a full safe zone. We've took down a third of the arena to be able to put in the speed field, and like, obviously, everything else that we've put in, we've moved air banks, we've moved power. We've had to do stupid amounts of work. Like, the amount of days that we've done in there, like, Kosh will back me up on this one. The amount of days that we've done where I've been there from 7 o'clock in the morning one day and left maybe 2-3 o'clock in the morning the day after, just grafting it out was unreal.
It's worth it.
Everything's worth it in the end.
I speak for the majority of players. Like, we've seen the work you put in, and it's absolutely crazy. I mean, you put stories up at ridiculous, like, night time, like, still there at the bunker. And it, honestly, I've seen the video of the pictures that you sent me of when the bunker was like at the district 23 was like when you first got your hands on it, and to what it is now is mind blowing, because it doesn't look surreal when you look at it from when it was like the CQB bit and all the mess there, and to what it is now. It just you can't picture it. You have to, like, be there to physically see it.
It's good. And to think we're only, what, I want to say 30%, 40% of the way done.
Yeah.
To what we've got coming is
yes. It's good. A lot on the horizon. And you know, what's the most recent changes with the D23? Obviously, I might have spoiled the AstroTurf one, but what's been the most recent changes that you've introduced?
So, obviously, the big one's Astro, but that was coming regardless. We just got lucky with timing, to be fair. Most recent, obviously, we've got the viewing window that looks from the toilet onwards, but that was there on the last comp. We've got the AstroTurf that's in. We've changed up the what we call the comp box, which is it's pretty much a control box. We do all of the live stream through there, head refs and all that kind of stuff. We've now built a staging room underneath there. So now it's getting finished off tomorrow, actually. So there's actually tables the whole way around, all completely sectioned off from the rest of the site. So when you're waiting to go on at the field and stuff, you'll sit in there. You've got tables, much more table space than what we used to have. There's also going to be a dedicated fill station in there as well. So
good.
There's no more running around to go top up your tank. There'll be a fill station in that room waiting for you. That's the biggest.
It's the things like, it's the little things like that that make the difference, isn't it? Like the fill station in that room, it's going to make a massive difference.
Yeah. It's all stuff we've had in the pipeline for a while. It's just money. We keep entry fees as cheap as possible while still doing cash prizes. Like, obviously, the comp that's coming up is, what, 300 quid entry. And it's a £1,000 prize on there.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that later, because obviously I've got a little bit to talk about that. But, you know, what motivated you to do all this? Like, when did you go to the point where it was like, that's it, I want to start, you know, doing competitions in the UK?
I mean, we've always... Like, I've been doing somewhat speed soft orientated events for about 3 years, but the big, I'm not going to out the site, but we were going around the site across the whole UK well before Bunker, like trying to get people on board, you know, try this, try doing this. Can we do a 1 day event here? All that kind of stuff. And I went to one site that was well up for it and all that, over messages, went and visited them and all that kind of stuff. I had a good chat with them, ended up getting into an argument with them. And they turned around and said, well, it's not your money. Why don't you put your money where your mouth is? And I kind of took it a little bit personally, if I'm honest.
Hey, I bet they're looking at you now like, damn.
Yeah, it worked. So, I don't know, sometimes it takes that one little push to be like, all right, sack it. Let's try it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And obviously, from everyone's point of view, like, you know, the D23 is successful. And, you know, a lot of people talk about, like, it's hard to just do, like, a speed soft arena. And obviously, you've got the aspect of obviously the CQB side as well. Do you think that really, really helps as well? Or
100%. So I've said it before, but it's a really strange and unique position that we're in. So obviously, we've got a two-story CQB right alongside like the Astro Speedfield, but we get enough parties through district to be able to sustain that site no matter what. We then get the Airsoft walk-ons, which then gives us profit for reinvesting and all that kind of stuff. So realistically, if I wanted to, I could easily close the speed field tomorrow, leave it closed for a year, and it wouldn't affect district.
Yeah.
So no, we're in like a really good position to be able to like trial new things, you know, have a bit of a play with like new like game modes and all that kind of stuff, and try and like bring something new to the UK.
Yeah.
So it's good. We're in a very, very good, weird but good position.
Yeah. And do many of the CQB players try out the speed soft field?
They complement each other, to be fair.
I can see.
We get some CQB players that come in and go, you know, they look over from the spectator areas and they go, oh, what's that over there? And then they try the speed field and they enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, you're still always going to get players that are like, yeah, that's not for me, all that kind of stuff. And to be fair, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Like, I've got no qualm with that. But then we also get some speed soft players that come on the speed field, see the CQB and go, well, I wouldn't mind having a go at that as well. So the work with each other is still good.
Yeah. No, I'm yet to try out the CQB, to be fair. I've always said, like, I want to come down and try the CQB act. It looks really good, to be fair. There's not too many around here. I mean, there's the UK Airsoft Skirmish CQB. But that's the only one I've played. So I actually do want to play, like, the indoor as well.
It's definitely unique. We've got what? It's two stories. We've got, I want to say, 7 separate buildings, like, or what we call like buildings, 7 or 8 separate buildings. We've got 9 or 10, I think we're 10 staircases now to get up and down between the levels, multiple bridges connecting everything. Like, although it's not a huge site, the flow of it's insane. It's very good.
Yeah. No,
and we're improving that as well.
Absolutely agree. And how have comps evolved from like, so your first ever comp, how has like the rules and everything changed to now where we're at? From the comp that's happening on the 3rd of November?
The first one I ever played, yeah, would be Outpost, yeah, a couple of years back. And to be fair, the format's never really changed too much. Back then, the format was just straight kill-based. You kill the other players.
And that's it,
you get to their start gate, done deal kind of thing.
That's the same as like what paintball is, isn't it, at the minute? Is it just,
much,
yeah, 5v5, once you're eliminated, you touch the opponent's bunker and that's it.
Yeah, really. And all done. So it's just it's a simple game, but the big thing that's changed is like penalties. So like back then, if you got hit, you'd get pulled. That was it. Whereas now you've got walk and trigger penalties, you've got slow exits, early breaks, you've got unintentional, intentional non-hit takes. Like, there's so many different penalties now, it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but it just means that it's a bit, for new teams anyways, it can look a bit daunting when you look through and there's like 25 different penalties.
Yeah, there's a couple on the rule book from what I see.
Yeah, I mean, they all are the same thing. You know, take your hits, don't go too early, and don't be a divvy, and you'd be sound.
Yeah, no, I agree, absolutely. And that's really the importance of reading the rule book as well. Make sure you read the rule book before a comp, because if you don't, then you're going to be finding yourself in some trouble, pretty much.
The big one is getting on and off the field with us. There's certain doors you're allowed to go through. If you go through the wrong one, you can get penalty for it.
Mm-hmm. And staying on the field as well when the game's over.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Caught a few people out from what I remember.
Watching people walk along the line, and I'm just like, "Yeah, you idiot.
You idiot. Why have you done that?"
Yeah.
So walk us through like what the typical process is for a tournament. So, like what point do you start planning the tournament, and then what kind of things go in along the way to get you to the tournament day, basically?
We typically start 3 months out. 3 months to 2 months out. The real prep, though, realistically, is within 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse and worse from there. So say from 3 months out, you've got the date in, you've got that released out, you're starting to like message out to teams and stuff like that, getting them involved, or does this date work? It then moves from that to then obviously all the teams booking on, looking at media, all that kind of stuff, what media stuff we can book on now, looking at reffing, what teams and all that kind of stuff. And then it kind of goes quiet in like between month three, month one, because month two is normally just dead chill. We've done most of the work. We just let it flow. Then you've got the run up, like the lead up to the comp, which is what we're in now. Now this is where everything gets busy.
Yeah.
So I've been on calls this morning, like going through the rule book, making sure the rule book's absolutely airtight to as much as we can think of, making sure everyone's on board, knows what we're all doing, sent out all the emails out to the teams, done our lap bit. Then as we get towards the end of the week, we've got the layout release on Sunday morning, Saturday night, depends how nice I'm feeling.
Okay. This podcast should be out on, it'll be Saturday at 6 o'clock.
It'll be after that. Saturday night or Sunday morning, depends how nice. Okay. So that's the layout's already done. It's already sat there waiting to go out. We've looked at it, we've checked it, all that kind of stuff.
And just to add, from what I'm pretty sure I've seen you, I've talked about this, there's going to be some new bunkers, is that correct?
There's going to be one, well, technically speaking, there's one new bunker.
Is it replicated?
There's two of them.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Because obviously there's got to be one each side, because obviously we work on a symmetrical field.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, one new bunker.
Any hints?
The only thing I'll say is that everyone knows NSL and stuff. It's not an NSL bunker.
Okay, that's interesting.
So it's a completely new bunker to what NSL have and their layouts now. So if you look at the layout that we've got out now, which is NSL, it's a completely different bunker to anything that's on there.
Okay.
It's a bunker that realistically Airsoft should have had a long time ago.
You know what I'm thinking? So I actually did a live stream a couple of days ago, and I was saying, like, a couple of people asked me, like, what do you think it's going to be? So I'll throw my thing. You don't have to say anything, but I'll throw what I think it might be. Okay. I think it might be like something like, you know what they have in paintball, how they have like a wing. You know, like the wing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was one of my predictions. Or, you know, like the, it was like a snake one. You know, like the Speed QB style triangle that's like long. They look quite low down, triangles, and they look quite long.
I'll
pop a picture on screen for the people that are watching on YouTube and that. But that was my other prediction. So if it turns out to be one of them, I called it, all right? Just to put that out on the podcast.
So, no, I wish I could tell you, but
no, I've
got to wait till the end of the week.
It's a surprise, yeah. Going to be looking forward to it. And I think it's going to, I think it'll throw a couple of people off, because obviously everyone's got the call outs for bunkers and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see like what people call it in there.
100%. But I mean, the field needs it.
Yeah.
It will help the field. That's all I'll say on it. And it's definitely going to... It's getting built Wednesday.
Is it? Okay.
So it'll be getting built Wednesday. It'll be getting hidden in district, so even the CQB players don't even know where it is.
Ah, nice.
Because obviously, a lot of people don't know about district, but even like you've been there, so where the party rooms is,
yeah.
The site actually goes all the way around.
Yeah.
So it's a massive, massive site.
No, I remember when you showed it me. Do you remember when you showed it me that time? And it was when the scale like maze thing was still in.
Yeah, yeah.
So like obviously the scare maze is now gone now, is it pretty much gone now? So that's now obviously
like a secondary safe zone in there now.
Pits and that, but God, I remember you showing me and I was like, it just goes on and on and on. It goes further around, there's more room. Yeah. I was like, that is.
And then obviously we've got access to the other warehouse. What? If we want to take that over, we can take that as well.
Out of curiosity, what do you know what the square feet is for the arena? For the whole District 23,
29,000 square foot.
29,000. Okay. Yeah. That's mad that. Because obviously
That's minus the other warehouse, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously there's a second warehouse, which was obviously leased out. But if we want to take that back, we can take that as well.
Ah, okay. So there might be something in the future, maybe.
Could be. We've got to get everything under control first.
Yeah, no.
I mean, we might look at something special in there. Something completely different.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, there is only technically now two speed fields really, isn't there? And you're literally the biggest, obviously. You've got the big pits and obviously the tank systems and all that kind of stuff.
Which is getting bigger as well.
So it is great. Do you think there'll be any more like pop up around? Obviously I know like down south it's
Berserker. They've put out I don't know what exactly they're doing. I did talk to them a few months back and obviously they were wanting to put in like a speaker B field. But then I never heard anything since. And then I've seen on like TikTok and stuff that they've started putting stuff out again.
Okay.
So possibly like they're Norfolk, so something over that way might be starting up.
Do you get many like site owners that like reach out to you, obviously?
Oh, loads.
So I can imagine a lot of people obviously will obviously want your opinion and obviously your advice. So
yeah. If you look at Anarchy.
Yeah.
So Lisa Anarchy. Reached out to us. I've got no issue helping sites out as many people know, so we gave as much advice as obviously we thought was needed. Any questions that they've ever had, they've always sent them over, got answered straight away. They came over to the last comp, came and watched how we do.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing is it Lisa that came, wasn't it?
Yeah. They seen how we do it, and I said, look, like this is the way we do, but we've been doing this for a while. This is the way that you guys want to start and then work your way. Obviously, we're within the UK, people might see us as kind of like the leaders of what's going on, but nah, we're only just getting started. We're learning the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
So we can give advice on what's working for us right now, but you know, you could take that to another site and it might not work. So
yeah.
But we'll always support the sites like as much as we can. We gave them our rule book and everything. And the same goes with any other site that wants to open up. Like if I was a DM on Instagram or an email or whatever like that, we'll support where we can, but just we're quite busy as well.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. So one thing you mentioned, obviously you do it a little bit different. You actually do cash prizes for your tournament. Now, yeah. I'm not sure. There's not many that do that really, is there?
I don't want to speak for America.
Yeah.
I'm with that as ATP. ATP in Poland do it as well.
Okay.
But I'm not sure what their prizes are. Uh-huh. But other than ATP, I think within like Europe kind of area. Within the UK, obviously, we're the only one. I think within Europe, it might just be us and ATP. Oh, okay. And obviously FCC, but they do 1v1s.
Yeah, yeah. And what drove you, obviously, to do that cash prize? Cause obviously, not many people do it, so what drove you to do it?
What's the point in playing and not winning?
Yeah.
Not winning anything.
100%, no, I agree.
What's the point in putting in the training, the hours and all that kind of stuff? Like, don't get me wrong, trophies are good, the cool medals are wicked and all that kind of stuff, but
You started doing medals now as well.
Yeah, yeah. Trophies, medals.
That's pretty cool.
Trophies to first and second, medals to first, second, third, cash prizes to first and second.
That's crazy. It's good. It gives a lot of people, you know, somewhat motivation to, you know, really try and get out there and perform.
We want more.
Yeah, yeah.
More cash prizes, more prizes. The more we can give to the players, the better. Because
yeah.
Like I said, what's the point in just competing just for the fun of it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And roughly, what is like the average prize pool for tournaments? I know it kind of can change, can't it, between tournaments? But
it keeps going up and up and up. But I'd say about a grand A grand is typically the cash spot now.
Sounds nice.
But for next year is, that grand's been brought out of the water.
We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, about next year, because there's a lot to talk about, isn't there?
Oh, next year's going to be sick. I'm excited for next year.
Oh, God. As a player, I'm really excited. So out of all the comps so far, which one's been your favourite? And you can't say the swamp comp.
No, do you know what? That was funny, but I hated that because we were soaked. By the time I got home, we were all done.
Oh God, I can imagine. And the field as well. That was pretty messed up, wasn't it? With the water on the field and that.
Do you know what? That field had drainage and everything underneath it as well.
Really?
They just couldn't handle it.
Just couldn't handle it. I mean, it was bad. It was there.
It's because we had rain for 2 weeks every day on the bounce.
Yeah.
And then it rained on the comp day as well. And we had drainage under the fields to a drainage ditch, which then fed to a pond, which then fed to a pond down the bottom. All three of them were full.
God,
so the water had nowhere to go. We were screwed.
It's that weather, man. It's that weather.
That's the exact reason why we got rid of the outdoor bunker.
Yeah. I remember we had a storm last year, didn't we? Or something like that. And I remember a lot of the pits got destroyed, didn't they?
Yeah, one side got leveled, completely leveled.
That's mad.
Because we got Christmas Day, I got a message on Christmas Day.
Oh God!
With one of the farmhands, he used to go on there, walk his dog and stuff, and he was just a video of him whistling away with the sight, and then he turns around and half the pits are on the floor. I was like, mint.
What was you thinking in that moment?
mint. Yeah, great. Well, cheers. There's a nice Christmas present, isn't it?
Nice Christmas present for you there. Was that when D23 was announced yet, or was you still in the
Okay. Already...
I bet that was a bit of relief there, really.
It was kind of a sealed deal for us, to be fair. That it was that started the nail in the coffin for Outdoor Bunker. It was, right, we'll rebuild it, see what the crack is, and then see where we go from here. And then we got to middle of January, we got hit again with another storm. Luckily, no damage on that, but it was getting a bit annoying.
Mm.
I think February, we got hit again, and March, we got hit again, and it was right, done.
Done
with bunker.
Seal the deal.
Yeah. But the most fun comp, it's got to be the last bunker one.
Last one.
Yeah, because it was just, I don't know, it might be more of a nostalgia thing or whatever, but I don't know, I preferred that one. Everyone had a laugh. It was a good
It was a great
tournament. All the players were loving it, and obviously it was the final one.
Yeah, it was a couple of people was first tournament as well, wasn't it? So it was VPR's first tournament, and look what happened, third place.
Oh, yeah, the district, yeah.
Third place, which is pretty impressive, not gonna lie, for the first tournament as well. And I'm pretty sure they mainly play they used to obviously mainly play outdoors as well, didn't they, on the subfield. So
they play Mayhem.
Mayhem, yeah, that's the one.
So they play at Mayhem all the time. And to be fair though, we watched videos of them, and I told Walks this as well. And I said I had what I thought was gonna go down, and to be fair, I got it wrong.
Yeah.
And I said to him afterwards, I was like, do you know what, mate, I was wrong.
Yeah, no. I think a lot of people misjudged them, to be fair.
I didn't expect them to get hammered or anything like that.
Yeah.
But as a player myself that's played outdoors and indoors,
it's a big difference.
Two different kettles of fish. And obviously we've seen on videos and stuff like that, the comms are always being spot on. But we've also seen videos of that from other teams, and then they come and
that's great.
Yeah, they get it handed to them a little bit. They get a bit of a humbling.
Yeah. Now, I tell you what,
very well.
VPR's media, that is pretty fire, isn't it?
Have you seen the guy with the camera? Have you seen this
Is it Sniper Jacko or something? Jacko, yeah, with his big rig that he's got.
He walked up to me with it and went, whoa, what the fuck's that?
I mean, Jacko, if you want to collab on anything, mate, just let me know. Because, we need the media.
They came up on the Friday with this big camera setup thing, and I was like, whoa, okay.
No, it was really good. And they did a documentary as well, which was pretty cool to watch. Yeah. That was an hour long as well, so it was pretty good to watch. So let's just go back a little bit. How did you actually go about acquiring D23? What was the process like, and how did that end up happening?
It was dead strange with District. So I actually started playing Airsoft there.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a couple of...
Full circle. It's proper strange how I managed to go full circle. I was already I was quite friendly with the owners, let's say.
Yeah.
Not mates or anything like that. We were just friendly. They knew me as a player and all that kind of stuff. And then we started getting a bit more involved with them middle of last year kind of thing, as we opened Bunker and did all them kind of stuff. Then we started getting more friendly and all that. Then me and Costa, we decided to actually get fully on board with District. We took a very small percentage. But it was more of a foot in the door that we seen, like, we'll show you our value kind of thing. We'll work, we'll show you that we know what we're doing, that kind of thing. Just let us build a speed field in here. And I have no idea why, but Michaela was crazy enough to allow it to happen. So that's off there.
Hey, thanks to her.
Yeah. She must have as much screws loose as I do. But then from that, we got involved. We started doing all the building work and everything like that. And then over the past, what, 2 months, 3 months, I've obviously then bought Michaela out as well and then became the majority owner of District as well. So I've gone from playing a District to being a partial owner of District to being the majority owner of District.
So they like, are they like fully like stepped out of the scene now, or are they? So
there used to be four partners in total.
Okay.
Like when me and Costa got involved, so there was me, Costa, Michaela, and Paul. I've bought Paul out, and I've bought all but 10% of Michaela's shares.
Hmm.
So there's now just the way it works out is like Costa's at 10%, Michaela's at 10%, and I own 80%. So it's quite cool to have like
that's a kind of it's full good. Circle. Yeah, no, it's good. It kind of like it kind of feels like everything just planned out like perfectly, really. From what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it's been like a kind of lucky, not mistake, lucky coincidence kind of thing how everything's worked out. Being able to meet the farmer as we pull up to the gates and stuff like. I'm not a big believer in fate and all that kind of stuff, but like that kind of makes you think, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Because literally he was leaving as I pulled up, so it was pure luck. Then Michaela was crazy enough to allow me to actually get involved. Again, pure luck.
Mm.
And then everything's panned out nicely, which is...
Nah, it's good.
Can only say it's luck.
So do you do like the bunker like full-time now? Is this like your like full-time thing? Or...
I'm still a taxi driver.
It's still a fucking hell. How much do you get? How do you get the time?
What's time?
Yeah, and literally what's time? Five in the morning still there.
Yeah, having ADHD just benefits everything.
Yeah, that's crazy how everything planned out. So obviously NSL, they obviously run things quite differently to how you guys ran it. How did you go about like deciding we want to do things differently to how NSL will do it? Because obviously NSL, they've been around for quite some time, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're good at what they do as well.
So they've been out for some time. So what made you like decide, oh, we want to do things differently over in the UK?
When we went over and played it, obviously we went over with...
Oh, yeah, went with Rush, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. How was that, by the way? How was the whole experience over there?
The experience was good, apart from the fact that I picked up an injury.
Oh,
on the training day.
Was it knee?
Yeah, literally my groin. All my groin went.
Yeah.
I tried to play the first game of each day and I knew it was a bad idea, but we learn. So it was an expensive holiday, if I'm honest, because if anyone's never been over there, it's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive, yeah. I've heard a lot. I've heard a lot of, like, it prices up pretty quickly.
Yeah, but it's worth going. If you want to go do NSL, I recommend it to anyone. Go and try it. It's an experience, and it's an experience that likelihood is you won't forget.
Yeah.
But the teams over there are complete different to over here. Like, there's no, like, well, you know, when you're in the pits and stuff over in the UK, like, there's a lot of bitchiness and stuff like that. And, like, I don't know. It's weird. Over there isn't.
Yeah.
They're all very chill. They all know each
other. Professional in a way.
Yeah, on the field, it's a different kettle of fish, but... Like off the field, everyone's mate. It's class. Like, and we've got it now like that. Like, it's quite good. But I remember like the OG comps like years ago, and like even the first bunker ones. Like, I don't know. It's a good vibe up there. Very good vibe. And obviously they know what they're doing and stuff. But
yeah,
the main issue with it is it's just not spectator friendly. So say if you're a brand new team and you go over to NSL, bad idea. Like, very, very bad idea. The rule book's different. The format's different. The penalty system is insane.
Yeah.
It's good for experienced teams. Very, very good for experienced teams.
Not very,
but if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So we needed something that kind of was like a hybrid. Because I personally prefer SpeakyB.
Yeah.
Like the format wise anyways, I like kill based games, that kind of stuff. So we wanted to just create something that was like a hybrid between the two.
Yeah, no, I think I agree what you said. Like, it works well. Like, for the obviously beginners as well, it's pretty easy to pick up. So that's obviously good. Because obviously you want to get, you know, UK is relatively small with teams and that. So obviously you want to get more and more on board. So obviously you change the layout differently every comp, right? So
every single one.
Every single one's
different. That is a baller, but it's worth it.
No, I agree. I think it you know, it adds a bit more. what's the word I'm looking for? It's a bit more original. So obviously you're not going to, not everybody's going to be like knuckled down, know exactly what to do with this layout. Everyone's going to have some sort of,
you know, they put their layout out for the whole year and that's it's done.
Yeah.
And as much as from a business standpoint, wicked class, you put it out once, you don't have to touch it. And even from like a reference standpoint, it's easier as well because they know where the usual lanes are.
Yeah, where to look for
like some of the dead spots and stuff like that. Like they know where they're looking at. So when even the refs can have trouble with the field because of it being a new layout every time because they're not used to it. But we find it helps us in two ways doing the new layouts. So in the first way, it builds more hype for a tournament because look at even yourself, everyone, what's the new bunker? What's the new bunker? Yeah. What's the new layout?
There's a bit more excitement to it as well. Like everyone's wondering what it is.
So you've got that little bit of hype for the tournament. But then the fact that we release exactly 2 weeks before the comp gives people a very, very short window to learn that layout.
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of in the same kettle of fish. I'd love to do a blind layout one day.
Just turn up, that's it. No one knows. Yeah. Just turn up. Got to sort your comms out on the day.
Yeah, literally. I think that'd be funny to be fair.
Yeah, no, I agree. It'd be a good one, that. So obviously with your, you've announced that you're doing a league next year, is that correct?
Right.
So what is that, how is that going to work? Is that going to be like for the like league, is it going to be different layouts each one, or is that kind of going to be?
Nope, it'll be different layouts again.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
As much as I hate doing the layouts, I think having a new layout each time is mint. It's class, it's good fun.
No, I agree.
So even for the league, it's not going to be the same layout.
Yeah. How many teams are open for the league? Is there any kind of cap on it on how many teams, or is it?
So it's going to be capped at 16.
16 teams.
Because it's going to be Division 1, Division 2.
Okay, oh, it's been two divisions now.
Yeah, so it won't be in groups this time.
Okay.
So across the next couple of months, because we'll be opening like pre-registration for it. So pre-registration will go out January time. So all the teams that are interested in doing the league can then register interest. We can figure out what division they need to go in. So all like typically teams that have already hit podiums.
I say, yeah, how would you determine that? Is that?
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like very strong teams will move into Division 1. And then the kind of the less experienced teams, you know, like new teams, all that kind of stuff, or teams that have struggled within like higher division, like, you know, like the more difficult groups, they'll go into Division 2. But then at the end of the year, because this is going to be an every year league, it's this is that long term.
Yeah.
The bottom two teams will automatically relegate down to Division 2, and the top two teams from Division 2 will automatically promote up to Division 1. And we're also trying to figure out something where the bottom third and fourth team or something. We're still figuring out bits and bobs to do with it.
Yeah.
But what I want to do is say third and fourth of Division 2 will go against the bottom third, like bottom third, bottom, fourth, bottom, and whoever wins them can go up kind of thing. That's what we're trying to look for.
Okay, yeah.
But we just don't know exactly how to do it yet.
Yeah. And I asked, obviously, I don't know if you watched the previous podcast, but I asked, Zach, do you reckon we'll see any, like, European teams or anybody travelling? Obviously,
yeah.
You know, we've got, like, the Pirates. They travel quite far, right?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I can't wait to see them on the third. But, no, honestly, hopefully we see some, you know, EU teams come along as well. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I'd expect so. Considering my DMs and stuff like that on Instagram, I don't know if we'll see them for the whole league and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they might dip in for one league event or maybe one standalone event, but I do think next year you will see teams from abroad.
I can imagine it can be like a little bit pricey as well for them as well, like it is for us for NSL. It'd probably be somewhat similar prices for them to come over here.
I've even considered looking at trying to do some kind of buy thing, you know, how... So like with Nations Cup with NSL, they've like sponsored certain teams' entries and stuff like that. We've considered doing it for like abroad teams to try and bring in European teams to here.
Yeah.
But then we don't want to see any kind of bias or anything get thrown around. Like people are like, oh, well, they got their entry paid.
As much as
I'd love to do it to support teams to try and bring new teams over here to show them what the UK can do.
You know what you need? I've been saying this a long time. Get some, what you call it, beds in that in the party rooms. Set up a little hotel going.
Yeah,
I think that'd be a good idea, you know, because there's obviously a lot of people do travel. Obviously, you got like the Pirates, obviously, myself, we like it's still a long drive, so we get a B&B up there and that.
November, on the November comp, if I remember rightly, anyways, the we got a couple of lads staying in a van in the car park.
Oh yeah. Oh okay, that's pretty cool. Oh nice, nice, nice.
But you got to think on the Saturday we've got the training slots.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
Some training slots are private. I'll be on site on Saturday night until probably 1 a.m. So
late one, and then back at it what 5 again?
Luckily, because we're indoors, it'll be like 6:30, 7.
Still so early. That's
quite nice. Yeah, it's all right. It's a lot better than bunker.
Nice.
I've done days at bunker until 1, 2 in the morning.
Like I say, I remember your stories where you used to tell me, like, so you've been on taxes on the night and then come in like,
oh yeah,
3-4 hours sleep. It's just, how do you do that?
ADHD. Perfect.
Honestly, less than 6 hours, I can't function. Literally, that's how I work.
ADHD and these little bad boys.
Oh, monsters. Plenty of monsters. Yeah. So what kind of things can we expect to see? For those that obviously don't know or don't go on social media as much, what kind of things can we expect on the 3rd of November?
You'll see the biggest live stream that we've ever done. Because the last live stream was a test of the cameras of what we were using. The next one is the second stage of that test, because we've had to test it in certain ways. So the next one, we're hoping to try and get 12 cameras on it for the live stream. So that'll be the next test of that. And then for next year, all the cameras will get changed out for 4K. It's just want to make sure that system works. Biggest live stream.
Just add there, a couple of people have been asking me this actually. Do you ever think we'll see VAR incorporated into like the D23 tournaments?
Probably eventually. Yeah. The biggest problem with it is cost.
Yeah,
like it's expensive. Yeah. Hella expensive. If I could find a different way of doing it or something like that, then yeah, but we've already planned it out on how we would do it.
Yeah.
Like VAR's weird. So we want to introduce, I think it's baseball in America. I was talking to someone about this earlier. So in I'm sure it's baseball. If they ask for like their version of a VAR check, if it's correct and there was a valid reason for it and all that, they're allowed to ask again during the game, like afterwards. But if they ask for a VAR check and it's complete stupid, like shouldn't have asked for it, then they lose their chance to ever ask again.
Oh,
so we'll probably incorporate like a rule like that to try and stop any kind of time wasting and stuff.
Yeah, no, I can imagine a lot of people. I can think of a couple of teams that might, ask a couple of times.
I'm not saying anything.
Keep that under the desk. No, sorry, carry on. So yeah, what else can we expect? Yeah, I've heard we're getting a lovely commentator. Is that correct?
Josh Hollywood.
Josh Hollywood.
In November.
Lovely.
So we're actually not only are we gonna have Josh Hollywood back on the field again, but we're gonna actually have commentating. So
the return of Josh Hollywood.
We've got the cameras, obviously first comp with Astro. So we're a little bit nervous for that one, but we should be fine.
Hopefully no injuries. That's what we're hoping for. No injuries.
People don't like hard knee pads. People don't understand using hard knee pads on Astro is like a bad idea.
What would you say, like what should people be like wearing? Like, do you reckon soft pads
underneath proper bottoms?
Yeah.
Don't go in joggers or like stuff like that. Like, go and get yourself some proper paintball. Not the padded ones, but like, like the HK and stuff like that, because they've got a different material on the knees.
Yeah.
And it just helps you glide.
And would you say just like AstroTurf trainers?
You'd probably laugh at this, but I don't know what the different names of them are. It's the ones with the little rubber nipples.
Turf, yeah.
Yeah, just them ones, because we've had someone, there's no way to buy, we actually had someone rock up with proper blades.
Nah, not
field ones, and I just looked down and went, yeah, mate, you're not wearing them on there.
Don't want to be wearing them. Yeah, so anyone that's watching, turfs are probably the best bet to go with, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Nah, I agree.
And don't rock up with like plims. I've walked on that field when we've wet it on plims and it's slippery.
I can imagine. Which is also, you're going to be wet in the AstroTurf, that's right. Yeah,
we wet it, yeah.
Wet it. That's going to be good. I think it's going to change it. What do you think? Do you think it's going to change how people play? Do you think it's going to make a massive difference?
Slide.
Yeah.
You know, we've had Legion in there now. We've had Speed Cartel playing on there. We've had SOTs. Seeing how people have had training sessions in there just to slide.
Yeah,
like just to learn to slide.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
not many
people have like gone to NSL, so they wouldn't have even experienced AstroTurf. So it's
different.
It's going to be completely different. I'm a Sarfie.
Even if you've done NSL and then come to us, or done us and go to NSL, because the turf's different, it's different.
Completely different, yeah. No. Yeah. It was my first time like a couple of weeks ago, and I like it was. It's insane how different it plays, how nice it slides, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see some games on there, definitely.
Oh, it'll be good fun. It will be good fun. The only problem it is if people don't slide properly, there's such a high risk for snapping grips.
Yeah. Oh, the polymer. Yeah, jeez. I bet you've got a few of them, haven't you?
I've got one that snapped. So, I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, yes.
That's not from me. I lent it out and it got snapped.
Oh,
but that's just maybe a bad slide or something like that. That's done that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's expected. Haven't played on Astro.
I've got a feeling we might see one or two that snap the grips on the comp. So from your perspective, how would you say like gear is really important, or can you just, you know, rock up with the basics?
As long as you've got kind of the right stuff, it's not about having Gucci stuff or whatever, but as long as you've got stuff that'll do the trick, like I've played in Hawaiian shirts. So top wise, like, doesn't matter. As long as you've got a decent pair of bottoms with, like I said, you know, like the HK ones, I'm probably gonna murder the name, but Sivas.
Yeah.
Sivas bottoms. Any kind of paintball, like joggers kind of thing, will work a treat for bottoms. Astro Turf boots. You need to be sweet, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's too many people that go for like the Gucci stuff, and I want to look this and I want to look like that.
Yeah.
It all does the same thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm surprised we've not seen like any like, you know, like battery powered guns like actually on the field yet. There's not many people that do you reckon they'll ever.
I've seen a couple. Over our comps, I've seen a couple. Not many though.
I'd say, do you ever reckon like they might, you know, outweigh HPA, or do you reckon that's.
No, because the only way you can is like the SG.
Yeah.
And the maintenance on them is insane.
Is it?
So,
I think I watched a YouTube video of someone that had a DSG, and like they was telling me all the stuff about that they had, like components wise, it was sounding like there's a lot of components basically.
Yeah, by the time you factor in like the cost of putting it all all together and the maintenance and all that, you're just 10 times better going HPA.
Yeah, no, 100%. And so how has the like level of play evolved over the tournaments? Would you say, you know, it's you know, the players are getting better and
massive.
Yeah.
Obviously you started like halfway through like the Bunkers journey as such, wasn't it?
Yes.
Like the first one to now.
Oh, I rocked up that tournament. I had a backpack on, I had the line coming out, I had a rifle, and it's changing massively. Like, I think so many things make a big difference, definitely.
I think with like teams like Legion as well, coming back to it.
Yeah,
I think,
it's really good that they've come back. Really good.
Yeah, definitely. I think them coming back only helps the scene, because they are a good team, as everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've got like a very, very strong belief in, if you're winning games constantly, you're not learning. You have to be losing to be learning, realistically.
Yeah.
And some of the top teams in the UK, say like before Legion came back, like would have been just at the top. And they'll still be learning, they're still very good teams and all that kind of stuff. But then now Legion's came back and now there's a new challenge, then them teams that might be getting beat by Legion now will just keep getting better and better and better, because they've got someone to actually train against properly.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, Legion, they've been around some time, right? They've been four or five years, or is it more than that?
But you know, 20. Oh, yeah, it's got to be 5 or 6. I did speak to you in 2019.
Yeah. They've travelled a lot as well, so
yeah.
it's pretty insane. So it's good to see that they're coming back, and hopefully we'll see them, you know, in the next year's season, which I can imagine.
It's good they're coming back with a vengeance as well, because now they're taking on players and
stuff.
Yeah,
they're recruiting as well.
They're back to stay, I reckon.
That's good. And what would you say, like, the key attributes is to winning tournaments? Like, what would you say the main thing is?
Comms. All day long comms.
Yeah.
Obviously, gunfighting and all that kind of stuff's worth knowing, being good with, then field IQ and all that kind of stuff, but communication all day long.
Yeah.
You don't know where they are, you ain't doing shit.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's got to be number one, 100%.
Yeah. And then out of all the bunkers, where do you prefer to play? Like, what kind of are you a pistol player, rifle player?
The biggest bunker. Yeah.
That's good.
Anything that means that I don't have to crouch down or try and get my ass in somewhere, we're all good, trust me.
Yeah. Nah,
but definitely rifle, I don't play a pistol.
Okay. And it's thrown back a little bit. So the new layout, have you got any hints or is it going to be favourable to the back players or what? Can you tell us anything?
The only thing we will say is get off break quick.
Okay. I remember the last layout. It was pretty favourable to the back players, right? Because obviously you had the flat ones at the back, and obviously the snake was pretty good. So
it was an incredibly defensive layout. The last one.
What would you say? This one's more defensive or offensive?
No, I would definitely say it's definitely more aggressive.
Is it? Okay.
It can be played more aggressive in my eyes anyways. I'm not a seasoned player as such.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, obviously it comes down to the team as well, doesn't it, really? Yeah, what definitely. Kind of team are playing on the field.
You can be massively aggressive on this one.
Yeah. And sorry, I forgot to ask this when we're talking about the next year's season. Obviously, what kind of prize pot is it on the cards, from what I've heard?
So the expected for the league across Division 1, Division 2 is $8,000. So it'll get divvied up as $5,000 for Division 1 because naturally it's a harder division. So they should get a better prize pot. And then Division 2 will have $3,000. But that's expected. That's where we reckon we're going to land. Where do I want to be is the real question. Now, if I can get it into 5 figures, I'll be happy. $10,000, $15,000, I'll be happy.
Jeez.
But $8,000 is kind of, I reckon that's where we're going to end up being.
Yeah. And do you reckon we'll see, obviously, I believe this is like the first comp that we've seen like sponsors getting involved. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well,
I've got to give my off to Kian.
Kian's supported us
for
ages. And Kian's continuing to support us as well. This will be the first one that you've seen BZ on. Obviously, Quartz Sports with Kyle, it's his first one sponsoring with us. And obviously, you've got Kyle over at High Cap Hub. We've been trying to get something working for ages.
Yeah.
And just nothing's ever managed to get across the line. But this one's finally the first one for him. We've also, for next year for the league, we've actually got a field sponsor, which is first for us.
Okay.
So we've got someone that's sponsored the field for the whole year.
But
obviously, details about that will get released over the next couple of months. So across next year, we'll be looking at trying to get some more field sponsors. I want to try and get that $8,000, like I said, 5 figures. Yeah. $10,000 plus, I'll be happy.
That's mad, that, to be fair. Just thinking about that, it's pretty crazy, to be fair. And how do you think the scene's going to grow? Obviously, this league is going to be a big part of next year's growth, I believe. And what do you think?
As long as we keep growing, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
We didn't start this for money. We didn't start this for fame or anything. We started it because before we first started, there was nowhere for us to play. I enjoyed playing. And it's no surprise to anyone that the whole idea behind this was we build a scene, we get the scene going. Hopefully other sites can then get going and then I can start playing again. Because obviously, as people know, I will not play at District or Bunker. It's a straight no. I will not compete there. But if other sites see what we do, grows the scene, they decide to start doing comps and we can go play there. That's the whole thing about it. And hopefully next year, if we can get some more comps going on, then maybe people can shoot at me.
Yeah, I can imagine, obviously, with obviously Speed Arena now open, I can imagine they'll start, somewhat doing tournaments as well.
Yeah, we need to, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So what can the players do, though? Like, teams and players, what would you say we can do to help, obviously, you guys, the site owners and, companies
just keep
grow?
Just supporting the sites, which everyone is doing. We've had massive amount of support all the time. And just, if people are still playing Skirmish, because I know with a lot of people who compete for the first time, they go, CQB and Skirmish, not for me anymore.
Yeah, that was literally how it went for me.
It's crazy addictive, isn't it? It goes now it's boring.
I literally haven't played a Skirmish in probably coming up to 8 months now. It has been a long time.
I think I've played one this year at District, but I don't know. I don't think I ever. No, it would have been beginning of this year.
Don't get wrong, they are good, but obviously you meet loads of new people when you go to a Skirmish and stuff like that, but I just can't play them anymore. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why we're not struggling to grow as such, but I think that's one of the ways that we could potentially grow it faster.
Yeah.
Is by getting more players going out and doing CQB and doing skirmish and inviting people to come and do what we do, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best way. It's just like networking kind of thing, getting your mates and all that, finding new players that want to come and try and do what we do.
How do you think, obviously, like the skirmish side, like their kind of players, how do you think they see us speed softers? Because I remember, obviously, you told me a story once that I mentioned about when you went, obviously, to a field as a speed softer.
I think the whole stigma's, it is changing. It's still there. 100% it's still there. But like the story you were mentioning there, is I went down to, what's it called? High Command? Is it High Command?
High Command.
I think it's that one. HC2, anyways, that's what it's called. And I rocked up there, jersey on, you know, as you'd expect. Got the usual comments, oh, it's a fucking paintballer and all this kind of stuff. But he's not going to take us. It's all the usual stigma. And I expected it. It's normal. Mm. So I went up to the lad and I said, oh, by the way, I'm not like outing you or anything like this, but like, if you genuinely have a problem with me by the end of the day or by the end of this game, come and have a word with us and I'll just leave. Like, there'll be no bad blood, nothing like that. I said, but I'm not what you expect. And he was like, yeah, no worries. After the first game, after I think it was the first or second game, he came up to us and he went, you know what, you're not that bad. You're all right. And I was like, see, because we're not all like that. We're not dickheads kind of thing. Like, we're just here to have a bit of fun, like especially skirmish. I do not take that seriously whatsoever. It's a bit of fun.
Bit of laugh for the lads.
Yeah, you're going around with plastic balls. Like,
I think it's like what you said, obviously. I think there's a difference between like speed softers and like competitive players. Like, you get the guys that just run around crazy with the HPA adapters and all that kind of stuff. But like, that's not what majority of the competitive scene is. Like,
that's why I hate being called a speed softer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you get to know us and get to actually play with us, I can imagine you'd get along with the majority of the speed soft competitive scene.
Especially the active players, anyways.
Oh, no, 100%.
I keep getting rinsed for saying it, but I think there's four types of players. You've got your casual, you've got your milsim, you've got your speed soft, and you've got your competitive players.
Yeah.
And I get rinsed all day long for saying it, but speed soft and competitive, two different things.
Two different. I completely agree. Have you ever dabbled in like milsim or anything like that, or?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. I've never really fancied it. I'd probably give it a go once or twice, but
yeah,
I don't like taking it serious. Like, even when I very first started, like I was in camo, all the usual stuff. You know what you expect.
Mm.
But even back then, never took it really seriously. And this is no, you know, outing or anything to milsim players, but whatever floats your boat, really.
If
you enjoy that, you enjoy that. Like I see airsoft weirdly as anger management.
Yeah.
You know, you go in there, you're going to go, like, shoot your mates. Your mates are going to shoot you. Happy days, you have a laugh. You know, you go home, done.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But then I'll get rinsed for the same thing, because then they'll go, well, why do you go and compete and get serious there?
Yeah.
But it's two different worlds, isn't it? Two really?
I've said a lot of this. I said it in the last podcast. Like, I would like to try some of the, like, you know, the stuff you see in America where there's, like, vehicles in play and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that does somewhat look interesting, I'm not going to lie.
There's some guy, you watch that much on YouTube, you forget half of them, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like names Nico or that Alphonse. But one of them was playing in like, it was on a roof, then he was in the water and all that. And he was like, he was doing like some kind of
crazy
attack kind of crazy stuff. Like, you know what? I'm game for that. I never go with that.
I mean, it's like what I think I saw a video of like Kicking Mustang, and he was like in South Africa or somewhere. And he was just like, some of the buildings was like, didn't even look like insurance must have been like crazy for that event.
Right, insurance doesn't matter with like, that, isn't it?
Yeah, like the buildings was half decayed and it was like a massive open like trench and it looked pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie. So I'm not a massive milsim fan.
I'd give something like that a go.
Yeah.
All day long, but
definitely like to get something like that.
It's when it gets serious and I'm just like, it's
yeah, yeah. It's more it's more of it like a
lot
of
fun. It's got to be fun. Yeah. That's the main thing about it really.
Yeah, no, 100%. So what teams would you say are like at the top of the game right now? If you had to name, I'd say three teams that you think are like top level and the ones to watch as well to learn from. What teams would you go with?
It'll be obviously Legion, TSI, will be.
Yeah.
Like they'll be your top three across the UK. And a lot of people might look and go, oh, it's the same three teams again all the time. But you've got to think how long have them teams been playing compared to everyone else?
Yeah. They have been in the scene you know, a long time.
Yes, I started the exact same time as us.
Yeah.
It was only Legion's been in the scene for the longest, obviously. And that's why they're at the top of the game. Like, eventually, someone will come knock Legion off the spot, and whoever knocks them off the spot, eventually someone else will knock them off it. And it's just, that's just nature of the beast, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'll ask the same question I asked Zach. Who would you say the best player right now in the UK scene is?
The best player in the UK? Kyle. Legion Kyle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's different.
Yeah, yeah.
Wired differently, that guy.
Like obviously what someone told me, like, he used to do, like, professional paintball, is that right?
Like, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he's done, like, World Cups and stuff like that, like, within paintball.
Yeah.
He's played abroad and paintball, like, all top level stuff, like.
Yeah.
Then obviously he's came over to Airsoft. I don't know why he came over to Airsoft or if there was a reason or not. But he's still quite well known within paintball.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're still that well known within paintball after being out for that long, you know, your name
must have made a mark,
isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
And obviously he does obviously the clinics now as well, which are at Bunker now. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah, they're with us.
Do you know when the next one is, or is he nothing planned at the minute?
Nothing's in the plans at the moment. The next one that's kind of planned is Keanu's on the 27th.
Okay. Oh, what? Just before the comp.
Yeah, week before.
Is that going to be on the new layout then, or is it?
I'll be on the new. You want to be going out Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Keanu's clinic. If you want to see the new layout.
Yeah, if you want to play on it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And out of curiosity, what challenges do you face running, obviously, competitive speed stuff?
Reffing. The biggest one's reffing all day long. Luckily, Costa deals with most of it. I say most of it, like 99% of it.
Is he
like,
head ref?
He's head ref. And we've got like a very, very solid core of head refs. So obviously we've got Kieran, we've got Costa, we've got Leon. They are like a very solid core of the refs. They're always the same ones normally. But luckily, I don't have to deal too much with it. But that's definitely the biggest challenge all day long.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, like you said, hopefully, maybe down the future, we might see some kind of VAR that might help the refs in some way, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It's cost. The biggest thing with it is cost. If it was cheap, I'd have it in already.
I'd say the cameras, I can imagine, are pretty expensive.
I mean, there's different ways of doing it, but it's whether or not you want to do it, you know, like half-assed, or if you want to just do it properly.
Yeah.
Spend the money, do it properly. But you know, we work on very tight margins on the speed field, so.
Yeah. So where can you see, like, the D23 in let's say, 5 years' time? Where do you see yourself? You see yourself? Obviously, you've got...
Bigger, cleaner, better, more experienced.
Yeah?
So
you've got the paintball, which is a massive, obviously, massive thing right now, isn't it, paintball?
Yeah.
Obviously, is it CPPS?
Yeah, I've got CPPS
they do all their kind of stuff.
They do their league. Is the way that we want to try and get towards. That's why we're bringing it in for next year with the Division 1, Division 2.
Yeah.
As the scene grows within the UK, we get more teams. We'll then add in Division 3, Division 4, Division 5, and so on.
Which I can't say. We have seen a lot of new teams popping up, haven't we?
The problem is teams staying. That's the problem.
Yeah, I guess.
I see so many... I'll get rinsed for it, but we see so many show teams.
Yeah.
The ones that act all this and all that and get all the sponsors and think they're the big I am, but never compete. Like, it's a massive thorn for me. I hate teams like that. Like, if you want to get amongst it, get amongst it.
Yeah.
The teams that go aren't, like, nasty or bullies or anything like that. Everyone will support you. Whether it's your first comp, 10th comp, it doesn't matter. Like, everyone is sound.
Yeah, no, I agree. Everyone, I've literally spoke to quite a lot of people in the speed stuff scene, and I've not had an issue with anyone to this day. So, I mean, it says it all, really. Do you plan on opening any other arenas in the future, or is that
within the next year or two? Nah.
No. Yeah, yeah, I know. So you want to
like not right now. I'm not thinking. Do you know what? I've got this plot of land or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd like to, if money ever came my way, say if I won the lottery or whatever. Yeah. I'd like to build a purpose-built. But that's like
dream level, like
dream kind of thing. But like in the plans, nothing at the moment.
Yeah, And obviously, you mentioned it. You mentioned obviously previously. Do you see yourself playing like more tournaments? Obviously, when the scene starts to somewhat self maintain itself and that.
Yeah, as long as it's not a district, I want to say if I open another site or whatever. As long as it's not one of my sites, I'd love to get back into competing.
Yeah. So what team did you? Was it SOT from the beginning? Could you tell us a little bit about that? Did you start SOT?
I actually started SOT. Back in 2018, something like that. Started well back then, and then I left SOT because I had enough of running it constantly, and obviously I was kind of going my own way compared to what everyone else was doing. Then SOT kind of just went dead in the water, pretty much. Then Kieran, he took over SOT, started running it again properly, and I started helping him out and stuff like that, and saying, oh, this, that, and just giving him very basic support, because he was doing it all himself anyways.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it just kind of felt right to go back to SOT, not as a player as such. Like, don't get me wrong, if they do a comp and I'm free, I'll happily jump on and I will be SOT kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I was more for, support, try and help him out, try and teach the young lads some of the basics, because I'm not a coach, not by a long shot, but teaching young lads a couple of tricks that maybe I've learned over the years or whatever.
Yeah, I'd say you've been in the scene a while, so you obviously know the stuff that happens, and
yeah, you can teach the basics kind of, but they want to learn properly, then they need to go see some of the lads from Legion and stuff, Mick Swain or Kyle or whatever. If you want to actually learn, you go speak to people that actually know what they're doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And what advice would you give for someone that wants to start speed soft or might have just started and want to obviously get better? And
yeah, come try it. The scene is not. You'll see a lot of videos on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube of people shouting "get out" and running people down, and you'll even see it on my own TikTok, people getting shot.
That must be the most common word in speed soft, right? Get out.
Get out. Do you know what? It's a part of being. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it if it's a quick "get out" or something like that. Because sometimes you can't help yourself. But it's when people are screaming it, and it's just it's not it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll see videos like that. Just ignore it. Come down to an open training session, whether it's with us, Speed Arena or whatever. Come down to a comp. You can come spectate our comps completely free. Just bring a mask with you as long as you've got full face. If you don't have full face, just find me a DM. I'll happily give them a rental mask or one of my own masks. Just come and watch it. Come and learn. Have a chat with the teams when they're not on the field, because obviously spectators aren't allowed down there. But spectators are allowed to have a little chat with the teams and pits. Just get amongst it. Stop being soft.
Yeah,
stop being soft. Get amongst it.
Give it a try, and honestly, you'll be hooked. That's all I'm gonna say. I tried it, and I was hooked instantly. One of my first training sessions, outdoors, Sup Airfield with Team Lucid, and it was the original. I can't remember his name from Legion. He used to do the Monk Customs belts. What's his name?
Tyson,
that was it. So his first time, obviously I didn't know who Legion were, and we did a training session. It was Lucid, some of the guys from Legion. Tyson was the one leading the training. And
was that the clinic one that they did at Skirmish?
Yeah, it was. It must have been a couple of years now, 2-3 years at least. And honestly, from there, I was instantly hooked. Some of the stuff he was set telling us stuff to do. And it basically gave me the understanding of the comps and stuff like that. And that was when the journey began for me, really. I started going into more competitions, started at the bunker.
And it's funny though, because Tyson is the guy who actually got me into it all.
Is he?
Yeah, believe it or not, Tyson. Well, Tyson's the one who properly got me into it anyways.
Yeah. No, he was a lovely guy. He was doing the belts at the time as well.
Yeah.
And obviously at the time I was literally, I think I had one of the chest rigs at the time, and he was telling me these are what the typical speed software we use a lot more easy, and it was just so helpful. And from there, I owe it to him really for getting me into this scene.
And that as well, if you've got a chest rig, get rid.
Yeah, or a bag. Get rid.
Yeah,
the bags are the penalty. Penalties galore.
Get yourself a nice slimline belt with minimal padding. and you're sweet.
Yeah. What do you think to the current NSL layout this season?
I don't mind it. I'm lucky. I'm not a snake player, so I don't need to fight down that.
Yeah.
You know, like a proper ladder snake like that, like sack that. I'm not doing that. Obviously, kind of think like the orange, the apple. So the Doritos that are kind of not side on, them two are in really good positions for players like me.
Yeah, yeah.
Players that can't
just like me as well. I like them bigger. The big Doritos.
It's a good layout. I don't mind it. I've never really critiqued layouts, to be fair.
Yeah.
Everything's the same. It's just different ways of playing it.
Has there been a comp that you've hosted that's been the NSL layout? I can't remember. Yeah, was it one of the first ones, wasn't it?
I was going to say the very first.
Yeah.
One back in, I want to say March. Was it March? Yeah, I think it was March.
March.
The very first one at District was NSL layout, March this year.
Yeah. Now, this is a new one, new question that I want to ask. Right, so if you could pick 5 players for a dream team, who would your 5 players be?
Ooh, 5 players.
So you got to think roles as well. Who's playing where?
As in only like, are we saying UK players? UK players.
We'll expand it. Go any players.
I've got not too many from abroad, but
exactly. I'm not too familiar with the players abroad, yeah. So
we'll keep it simple. We'll go with the UK.
Go UK.
You're talking on the back. You're talking people like McSwain, Kyle, probably Morgan from now Legion.
Yeah,
Morgan. That's a nice back because all 3 of them can quite easily go forwards as well.
Yeah.
Maybe players like Harrison, Kiani as forwards.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an incredibly aggressive 5.
Yeah.
All 5 are very, very aggressive players.
I say I've watched obviously a lot of NSL and watching like the link up between Harrison and Kiani. Yeah. I've got to say they've got a good link up there. It's a good two players.
They've got a similar player style. Yeah. They're both very aggressive, so it works.
Yeah. And to be fair, like Harrison, I've known Harrison for a while now, and he's part of as well one of the reasons why I got into Speedsoft, and you know he's a pretty good player, to be fair.
Yeah, he is.
Plus,
he started with Lucid.
Yeah.
And obviously moved through into TSR and stuff. I think he's found his feet with TSR.
Yeah.
So he's doing well.
Do you think there's any underdog teams that are yet to shine? Any that you've not seen yet?
Not seen.
Well, that you know, they've not maybe got the
VPR were the ones that shocked me the most. VPR, straight up. They just need to keep at it. If they keep at it, they'll be sound.
No.
Or like underdog teams, I don't like to watch new teams, if you get me.
Yeah.
Because the amount of, obviously I've been doing this for a long time, and the amount of teams that I've seen, like I said, show teams that I've pretended to be the big I am and all this kind of stuff, and then never showing up is unreal. So I've stopped even watching teams. Like it's not worth it.
Yeah.
But definitely underdog teams like VPR, they're doing very well. Airsoft Pirates, every time they've came.
What?
Always improving.
ECS same as well.
ECS.
Yeah.
I said, do you know what I said to Ben on the last comp? You know, once it was all done, I said, you know what? I said, now it's all done. I said, I can tell you straight now. And he went, what? I went, on the morning, you guys were doing mint. I said, I don't know what he's had for dinner or whatever. I said, but he's dropped off in the afternoon. I said, on the morning, if you kept that the whole way through, absolutely perfect. But like, you can see the improvement.
Yeah.
Every time they come and play, you see the improvement.
Definitely. No, 100% agree with that.
Speed Cartel only started beginning of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like ECS, like looking back from when they first started to now, is pretty impressive how they've progressed.
And their first comps when Ben was kicking pegs out of the bunkers and stuff and they were going flying.
Yeah.
He was trying to get himself under the bunker pretty much.
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they stole one round against Legion as well in the last comp. I'm pretty sure.
First round
which again is massive, isn't it, really?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Kyle said to us before, like Kyle from Legion, you're in the best way of learning to do this properly is you go from losing to controlling how you're losing, to then kind of controlling the game, maybe losing at the end, to then when you see the change. When you start lose, win, lose, win, lose. And he said, that's the way you want to learn. Yeah. So when people are starting to steal games from Legion, then you're definitely on the right path.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the thing. You always got to play the best and you'll always learn, won't you?
100%.
Yeah.
You never learning against teams that you're just winning constantly.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, one of the teams at the top, I mean, you can probably agree with me, OB, you know, challenges. Mm. They've been pretty good in the challenges.
Yeah, it was only the last one. I think it was a penalty.
Yeah.
I watched a bit of it, not all of it.
It was a bit of a devastating ending. The penalty right at the end. I think it was like the last 30 seconds of the game or something. It was pretty much theirs. And then obviously the penalty, which gave the opponents maximum points, which was obviously a bit of a shame, and they couldn't really, you know, do much about that. But do you think we'll see them at any comps? You know, they've been a bit quiet in the UK scene.
Obviously, there was, like, OB know. To be fair, the whole scene knows. There was a bit of history between me and OB. Obviously, we've squashed out a lot. That's all sound now. But when it goes to, like, NSL, they were doing well. It goes back to what we were saying earlier, but NSL, it's such a difficult format, and the penalties over there will do you over.
Yeah.
Like, if you mess up slightly, that's it. You know, you can lose a game easily over, like, a stupid penalty.
Yeah, there's a lot of penalties. Obviously, watching the live streams, like, you get to see it all the penalties and stuff like that. But yeah, no, hopefully we see them in the upcoming comps. As again, like, it's something to learn from as well, playing against them.
Yeah, like I said, top three teams.
Like I've said, I said in the last podcast, I would love to see a Legion versus OB. I've not seen like that kind of game yet, so I think that'd be my top game to watch as someone to watch. I think that'd be.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not happened in one of our.
Yeah,
games.
Yeah. So that
it hasn't happened in like what the last 2 years or so.
That's my dream game.
It'd be a good game, that.
I think it would. A lot to learn from as well. I mean, I remember watching the TSR and Legion game, and that was like back and forth, like just watching the high level players, you learn so much. Like watching I can't remember the guy's name from Legion, but I watched something that he did in one of the games. I was like, right, I'm gonna try that in the next game of my game, and I was like, it worked really well. Yeah. So you pick up the small things and implement it, and it works. So
I think they're all individually very, very good players.
Yeah, no,
and absolutely. Then you put them together, and it's a crazy combination, really.
It is, yeah. So yeah, no, hopefully we see them, and hopefully, you know, maybe Rush Recon, hopefully we see them in some of the comps. That'd be nice. Bring back, because I remember the OG days, TWW, Rush, OB on the outdoor field, Flashbang. It was a good thing.
Resurrect TWW.
Yes, bring back TWW, we need it.
There for it as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. Do any of the other TWW players still play, or is it just Josh that's still around?
I think it's just Josh, you know.
It's still just Josh?
I think so. Or at least I haven't seen anything from any of the other players.
Yeah, no, hopefully.
It's like Lucid just went as well, didn't it?
Yeah, obviously Lucid's quite a local team to me, so I know the majority of the Lucid team. And
there was only like one or two, maybe three of them that went into other teams. Obviously Harrison went to TSR.
Yeah, I think Braden's still around, but he went to Flashbang for a little bit. I think he's now just looking for a team again, I believe. I think, you know, Flashbang are just trying to figure things out at the minute with the players. So I think, Braden is actually looking for a team at the minute. And then I think
that's a difficult thing with teams, though, isn't it? People don't understand like how many hours goes into it and how much work goes into keeping a team together.
Oh, yeah.
I training and stuff.
100% put it out there, I would not like to be a captain. Like, organising, like, your group.
I've got to get my hat off to everyone that does it.
It's pretty crazy. So, for the viewers, where can they find you on social media?
Instagram is always the best bet. Facebook's a nightmare for me. I only do my personal stuff on there, my life and all that. So if you go over to Instagram, Luke_Curtin27.
I'll have the links as well down below as well, so you can all click the links as well.
Legend. The Bunker CQB is obviously The Bunker, or I think it's District 23 Airsoft is District 23's. And that's the three socials that you can find me on pretty much.
Beautiful. And like one more time, for the people that are turning up to the 3rd of November, what can they expect? What can they get ready for?
Insanity.
Insanity.
Especially for teams that have done the first ever comp with us to compare to what's coming on the third. It's staffing-wise, it's the biggest comp we've ever done. Cash prize as well might be either the biggest or on par with the biggest. Astro, which is insane. Three media. We've got three people doing dedicated media. And we're not talking just three random people off the street or
proper,
you know, three staff that are doing it. No, we've got three actual media people coming in to do it.
Are there still media packages available?
Yep. So yep. Media packages are still available. So if you fancy one of them, DM us. Because if you don't get one, and then you message me the day after the comp or on the night going, by the way, Luke, I want one of these.
Yeah, I say SOT last time. Obviously, we got the media package, and honestly, the footage was mint. Obviously, you've edited some of the montages, haven't you, as well? So, I'd go get the media packages as well. Say, there's only three left. Three.
No, there's three staff doing it.
Oh,
there's
three staff doing it.
Three separate. So we've got Nigel Dancy that's coming in to do it. He does a lot of paintball stuff. He's only local to the site as well. He's a top guy. And then, obviously, I'll fire these links over to you as well, Cal.
Yeah.
We've also got Snap and Shoot Media. He's a massive one in paintball as well. He's coming over to do media for us. And then we've got, Nick, but I think he goes under as Comfortably Numb.
Oh, yeah,
on,
yeah.
On Instagram, he's coming and doing media for us as well, on field, off field, pits, everything.
And the footage as well, it's on the, what's the camera used? Is it DS?
Oh, my camera's nothing compared to what's coming.
Oh, it's a big camera, Snap, is that?
So, Nigel's got a similar camera to me, and he's got a better camera as well. Then you've got Nick, who's got a better camera than me because he's got a proper DSLR thing.
Mm.
And then you've got Snap and Shoot, who's got a Blackmagic 6K. So, yeah, his footage is going to completely piss all over mine. So, I'm not even getting mine out.
I managed to edit a bit of the footage that you gave us, and obviously that was like, 4K? It was really 4K, yeah. Crisp footage as well.
4K, 60 frames.
So, you know, if you want to, for the teams out there, if you want to up the media, definitely jump on the media package.
This is definitely the one to do it for, because, we've spent a fortune on media for this one.
Yes, no, honestly, it's definitely worth it. And there's going to be a couple of stores that are going to be at the comp.
So we've got BZ, that's coming with them. With one of their tents, we've got High Cup of Hub coming down with one of their tents. Obviously, Co-op Sports will be on site as well. We've got Airsoft Essentials that's going to have a stand inside the shop as well. High Pressure Airsoft. I don't think they can make it, but obviously they're sponsoring the event, so hats off to them as well. Genuinely, the support from brands on this one's been mint.
Yeah.
So next year. Be the one.
It's definitely going to be a big, big year, 100%. So yeah, that's pretty much a wrap up. And one more I'll ask you is, who would you like to see next on the Speedsoft Lounge podcast?
You want to get one of the Legion lads on?
Get the Legion lads on.
You got to.
Hey,
get Mick Swain on, he'll do it.
Yes, absolutely. Mick Swain, we're looking at you. But no, I appreciate your time, Luke. And again, I can't wait personally for the tournament. It is going to be really good. Is there anything else you want to say to the viewers?
No, just thank you for supporting Bunga, especially over the past 2 years. Now we're going into the biggest season. Because now it's seasons now, isn't it, really? Like,
yeah.
We've always done comps, but now
it's seasons.
We're going into the first season.
The real deal.
So it'll be sick. It'll be good.
I appreciate you. And again, appreciate your time. Thank you for watching, and hopefully we can see you in the next podcast.